The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Forever Dog.
Up, everybody, prom night now. Oh my god.
Safer at home, prom night.
Prom night. Safer at home, absolutely. Oh my god, are you guys jamming? Everyone's hype in the chat. Oh dang, people are here. What's up, Silver? What's up, Caddy? What? Oh my god, so many new people. Hello.
Yay. Oh, I like the dance, everybody. I like how Oz is doing the like Carlton. Everybody else is like swaying.
Yeah. Oh my god. Everyone's here. Everyone's looking fantastic. Honestly, I've never seen us look better.
So good.
Hey.
We're all like your wedding.
Oh. Yeah, honestly,
pretty hurtful, Kelly.
Y'all looked like trash. Y'all looked like hot trash at my wedding. Thank you so much, Janelle Santa Cruz, for the raid. Loving that. Thank you so much. Y'all, we are here, prom time. Thanks for the host, it's Pandar. All right, I feel like everybody should recognize your beautiful faces, correct?
Yes. Do it anyway.
And if they don't.
should we do a, like, hey everybody, welcome to Teen Creeps, the live about YA Pulp Fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaita.
I'm one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent. And today we are joined by not one, not two, not three, but 4 very special guests. Thank you so much, Andy Campbell and Cameron Rice, for the hosts. Appreciate that. All right, first up, you may be looking at his little suit jacket. No, you guys might not know who I'm talking about because 2 people are dressed the same. Yeah. He's wearing a tie. Uh-oh. He's wearing a patterned button-down shirt. Uh-oh. He is.
What now?
Comic book writer and host of the Nintendo Cartridge Society podcast. Podcaster and low-dunk correspondent Patrick Ellers is here. Hello, Patrick.
Thank you.
Hey, Patrick.
Wait, make sure. I want you to say your like favorite 80s phrase.
Oh. My favorite 80s phrase?
10, 9, 8, 7, 8, 6,
7,
5.
6, 5, 4. 3.
Cowabunga!
Woo! Oh,
yeah, that worked.
That was perfectly on brand.
Yeah. Oh my that god, beautiful. That, I mean, we're going to put that on your gravestone because you're dying tonight on stream.
I thought we were going to tell him.
Can you imagine? Ugh.
If we build it on stream? First of all, you'd have to break quarantine to do it.
Of the 2 crimes, breaking quarantine and killing you.
In for a penny, in for a pound, you're right.
Oh, hey, Calixte, thanks for that, host. Okay, you may recognize her. She's sitting in what looks like a boutique that sells $65 candles. She brings us such joy. She is podcaster, Sweet Valley correspondent. Ryan Mogi is here.
Yay, Ryan!
It's like totally trippendicular to be here.
Yeah! Wow. Here's the thing, Patrick. You look really bad right now because honestly,
bro, Ryan had this whole time to think of her favorite 80s phrase.
Be profesh.
Please, seriously, be profesh. Harley Quinn, thank you for the sub.
I see what's happening.
Okay. You may know him from TBD Bites. He's also wearing a dark sweater or jacket. I'm not sure on that one. A patterned top. He's in the like ready position, like in a like choose your player kind of situation. Beautiful glasses. Love the glasses for him. Wearing a tie. Elry Nation and podcast, thank you for questing. Omar Najam is here. Yay!
Why not the best? Peaches and cream.
Is that your phrase?
Well, those are both slogans that President Carter used in his election. So I'm going to go ahead and stick with them.
Okay.
Wait. Jimmy Carter's election?
Yes.
Wait, so you are
peaches and cream?
I'm sorry. Peaches and cream? That is like straight up.
It's perverse.
Maybe a hate crime. That's really weird. I feel like really disgusted.
Okay, but I think in the 90s, the song Peaches and Cream was playing at prom.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
What if the group 112 wrote Peaches and Cream about Jimmy Carter's presidency?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That would be so strange. And I don't like thinking about a president and peaches and cream. I just don't.
Let alone Carter.
let alone, you know?
Johnson, so. I mean, of all the presidents, he might be my seventh choice to associate with that.
Wait, are we? I want
Lizzie did the
six.
Numbers real quick.
Her first six, Washington, Madison, just straight up from the first.
Harris. That's one, right?
Yeah.
Van Buren. Yeah.
McKinley.
Garfield. Taylor. Obviously, Taylor came next.
Yeah, how could you forget Taylor, though? Like, king of peaches and cream.
You know what? I'm going to say my number one would be Lincoln.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that's
for sure.
A boring choice, but...
No. Peaches and cream presidents?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I feel like Lincoln could talk about almost anything and make it sound fairly like interesting or classy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like I wouldn't get grossed out if like just Abraham Lincoln turned to me
and said the lyrics of
what if he
turned Lincoln?
Wouldn't freak me out.
Why am I only thinking of the animatronic?
Speaking of animatronics,
with Mr. Lincoln turns to you and breaks the entire attraction.
I'm gonna do what I can. I have to introduce our final guest. Our final guest here. And thank you so much for gifting those subs, Robo. Really appreciate that. Great way to get people in the community. All right, you might know him from Spanish Aquí Presents and Inside the Disney Vault, and Bless the Hearts on Fox. He's wearing a very eye-catching and
super fun, like genre fun. 90s look.
I love it.
The bolo tie. Is it called a bolo tie?
I love the bolo tie. I also love that it's very, and I mean this in like such high praise, Claudia from Babysitter's Club.
Yes.
Yes!
Oscar Montoya is here.
Babysitter, Hey! what's my, Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice!
Yay, Oscar!
No! You're not supposed to do that!
That's the opposite of what you're supposed to do.
Oh, my God. Oh, thank you for gifting that sub, the ever so charming. That's so nice.
Let's give a shout out to Kelly for keeping it, keeping the Twitch chat going. She is our technical goddess, because I don't know how to look at it.
Here's the thing.
I'm trying and I can't. Kelly's just like so seamlessly like, thank you for this. So now we have with us on.
Oh, I will say I have an advantage because I have like,
how?
I have like all these, I have like a monitor with like just the stuff that's happening on the Twitch on the back end. So it is a little bit. Thank you for the biddies, guys. People are cheering for us. This is so awesome. Everyone's so excited. Chat is fucking popping, y'all. We have 200 viewers in the chat. This is fucking awesome. Welcome. Thank you so much for the biddies, y'all. Oh my God! But someone just said, did everyone check over their heads for Christine McGee? Did someone check over their heads for buckets of pig's blood? How dare you?
Why would you?
Why would you?
That's how we're gonna kill Patrick.
We're gonna drown Patrick in pig's blood because he's a dirty little pig that likes it rough. All right.
Oink oink, Patrick. Fuck it up.
Oh my God.
I feel like I'm gonna take a sip of my spiked punch.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it feels like a really good opportunity to talk about the fact that this prom is sponsored like Jungle Prom.
This prom is sponsored by Jungle Prom.
Like Jungle Prom. We have a sponsor. It's Mint Mobile.
Yes.
So thank you for we're doing some giveaways. Very fun.
Yes. We will be having a giveaway at the end. Actually, let me go into let me change the things that people know that what's kind of going on here. I'm gonna change the stream info. But yes, we're gonna be having some giveaways at the end. And this stream is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Why pay for, dumb service when you can pay for great service for only $15 a month?
Yeah.
Okay.
It really sounded like you had that one down, Kelly.
Thank you. Actually, that was specifically their note on how to read the copy. Like, they were like, pause like you're thinking of what to say, and then just say like, something really dumb.
You nailed it.
You should feel like Lindsay was definitely prompting you to do it in this moment and not rightly bringing it up.
Yes, let the chat think you're failing.
Run to the email to make sure that you're getting the talking points correctly rather than later as Lindsay had in mind but did not say out loud.
Great, fantastic. Okay.
Well, no, it's a good service that's inexpensive. One of my friends, Patrick, uses it.
That's me.
It's great. Yeah, we use it. We love it.
One of my other friends, me, uses it.
Yo, my only friend, me, uses it.
My most important friend, me, uses Mint Mobile, $15 a month.
Thank you so much, Dottie Sade, for gifting all those subs. Really appreciate that. Great way to get people to know about the channel. Wow, we just got attacked, Lindsay. Ashlita says, is the giveaway trivia? If it is, my answer is the rapture. Wow.
That is rude, and I do not appreciate it. You dumped a bucket of pig's blood on my soul just now.
They're all gonna laugh at you. They're all gonna laugh at you.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
All right. So we have some very talented actors. Right? We do, right? I mean, if you guys are bad, this is gonna suck.
I did King and I twice in 1 year.
Like for friends?
Wait, did you say I was in the King and I, or I watched the King and I?
He said I did it.
You did it.
Two performances?
Oh,
I'm not gonna elaborate, but right. I did the King and I in one year.
Yeah, you're thriving.
So. I'm confused but impressed.
Oh my God. Okay, so each of you, basically what's going to happen tonight, guys, is that Lindsay and I have written an original story. What's it called, Lindsay?
Prom Dance.
Great.
The name that we thought of 5 minutes before sending it out to our actors.
And did not include in the email to the actors?
No.
No, we didn't do that, did we?
We did not. It was after I emailed that I texted you. What is it called?
Oh, okay.
And then you laughed.
Also, we didn't change the title page. No. Yeah. So before we read, we do want to note that we are giving away some Mint Mobile stuff and some Teen Creep stuff after we read. So you better stick around if you want those things and watch the read, because that's how we're tricking you into staying.
Yeah, we're like that person, that like girl that like buys drugs for her friends so that they hang out with her. Okay.
Except instead of drugs, it's portable phone giveaways.
So Lil Raincloud wants to see everyone's full outfits. I will volunteer just because I am proud of what's happening. Covered in blood.
Oh my goodness. Congrats.
I am like, thank you so much, guys. Like, honestly, like, how did I get here? Not without you.
I gotta show up. Okay.
Show me.
I am on my shoulders of giants.
flamingos.
Yay!
That was the only way anyone would get to see them. So
beautiful.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Wow. I mean, honestly, though. Oh, lots of love in the chat from your for your dress, Ryan.
My Everyone's class, baby. Loving
it. Okay. Does anyone else want to show their entire body?
We're all doing a quick, like, unflattering viewing of my body. Kelly and I, if you didn't notice, are wearing our prom dresses from our prom shoot with Robin Von Swank, and so that is why she is covered in blood, because at the shoot, the makeup artist just had a spray bottle full of fake blood and just shot it at us.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you can't see any of the blood on my dress because it's covered in sequins or something.
It's like your biggest weakness is that you're too strong.
that I care too much. So here is an unflattering, like, down and up.
Glitter. Absolutely gorge.
I'll show off my whole outfit, but you have to be forewarned that since quarantine started, I have not worn pants.
Are you about to, like, terms of service Twitch me? Am I going to get permabanned? What's happening? Yes! Thriving. Thriving.
Not looking that pale.
No.
Thank you.
Have you been tanning your legs?
By the window.
Yeah, exclusively.
By
the window. Like
just
a plant.
Legs up, you know?
Gorge. Hey, thanks for that sub, Ribbit Robot. Wow, we got that hype train going. Let's keep it going, y'all. Okay. Are we ready to get into the story? Maybe we should say who each... Well, I guess we don't need to say who each person's playing, right, Lindsay?
No.
I don't think so, huh?
No, because we introduced them so thoroughly. Yeah.
Okay.
Forgive my looking down at my phone to read all of this.
No problem. You're allowed to look wherever you want.
I didn't memorize our 38-page script.
Oh, I hope all of you guys are off
book. We have not opened it. I did
not even opened it, so this is going to be...
Yeah.
You're in for it. Just to let you guys kind of know what's going to happen with this story. Wow, someone said Empire High 2 prom dance. Lindsay,
no.
Justin Cross.
Never. I'd rather try to think of the word rapture for 20 minutes again.
So how this is kind of going to go is, people are like, I'm hyped for all the introductions of everyone to everyone. Glitterheart.
Shut up. I don't need this. I don't deserve it. I don't need it. Now more than ever in these uncertain times, I don't deserve this.
So what's going to happen is we're going to perform this. Our talent has not seen this yet. So it's all a cold read for them. They don't know what's going to happen to their characters. They don't know. All they know is, like, names and, like, vague character descriptions. Then we're going to get to a point where you guys are going to get to vote on what happens in the story. And after the vote happens, we will finish that, and then we'll do our giveaway. So that's kind of how it's going to go. All right.
I just realized I could look at the script on my computer.
You absolutely can. It is within the realm of your abilities.
I'm allowed.
Okay. Are we ready to get started?
Hang on. Now that I've done the thing,
open it now.
Oh, and then Lindsay, since you and I are doing the narrator part, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I don't care.
Okay, you start.
We should plan these things ahead of time. You start.
Me start? Fine, I'll start. Okay. Hell yeah. Everyone. Okay, let's see here. All right, do we all have our scripts ready?
My script's open.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for your acting!
And again, please stick around after the story, because we have 3 Mint Mobile giveaways and they are coming with bonus Teen Creeps add-ons.
Yeah, and these Mint Mobile giveaways are pretty tight. So you're gonna wanna stick around for that, for sure. All right, are we ready to get started?
Yes.
How's the y'all? How's the people in the chat? How's the is the music too loud or is it okay?
Oh, I forgot there's music.
There is music, and it's like down, 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 down. All right, people are saying it's good. Some people don't hear. Some people don't. Is it the music? Okay, whatever, it's fine. Okay, wow, everyone's fucking loving it. Okay, let's get started.
Okay, great.
All right. Chapter 1. Amy Sinclair ran. The hallway was dark and her footsteps echoed behind her. He was coming to find her. She had to hide. A door. She pulled. It wouldn't budge. She tried another. Again, nothing. A door at the end of the hall stood open. She ran through it, slamming it behind her. Cold fingers wrapped around her throat and hot breath puffed in her ear.
Beware the dress. Beware the dress. Beware the dress.
The voice got louder and louder until it was a cacophony of sound, one blaring tone. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's your turn.
It's fine. I was going to let it go. Just keep
I'm
going.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Going this part.
Okay. Amy gasped and opened her eyes. What a dream. She remembered the spicy pizza she ate the night before. Acid reflux always gave her bad dreams.
I should have had my bedtime cold milk before bed. That sound. Still blaring. A car horn. I'm late.
Amy brushed her teeth, grabbed her bag, and raced to the beige Saturn S series waiting in her driveway. Her best friend, Brenda Hoot, waved at her cheerfully.
Hey, Rip Van Winkle. Oversleep.
Amy smiled to herself at her best friend's interesting literary reference. Brenda was so good at reading books and had so much potential. If only she cared about school half as much as she cared about boys and the latest fad diet.
What's the diet this week?
Brenda put the car into gear, rolled her eyes, and groaned.
Ugh, cabbage soup. I sure hope this is the one that does it. I have just got to lose these 2 pounds.
Amy giggled, and although she didn't say so, privately agreed. Brenda had been 2 pounds overweight since they were kids. Amy flipped down the passenger's side mirror and tucked her auburn hair behind her ears, and then shuddered. Brenda glanced over.
Ugh, and you look beautiful as always. And you're in the running for valedictorian? It's so unfair.
What's unfair are my...
earlobes? Sure. If your earlobes were bigger, you'd be the most beautiful girl in school, no question. But I'd trade that over those 2 pounds any day.
That's true. I suppose I don't have it so bad. My auburn hair is lustrous, and I'm tall without being intimidating to boys. My green eyes have an impish quality, like I'm remembering a secret. My pale skin is striking, but not in a way that indicates I'm some gothic or part of some other non-mainstream subculture. It's just my earlobes are too small. Every time I talk to a cute boy, the second I pull my hair behind my ears, I see the light go out of his eyes.
And I'm on a diet.
He pulls into the school parking lot. A boy crossed in front of Brenda's Saturn S series. His dark, messy hair was curled carelessly over his forehead, and he clutched a messenger bag across his lean but muscular chest. He looked into the car, and his dark eyes locked with Amy's. Her heart beat harder as he stared at her with an intensity she'd never known. Something like raw fury flickered over his face, and his hands tightened around his bag strap, his knuckles white. A vein popped out on his forehead, and she could see him breathing hard. And then he looked away. Why had he looked at her in that murdery way? He didn't even know her.
I feel as if I've just run a marathon.
Who is that absolute hunk? Very intense. I like it. I'm starving!
Classes went by in a blur, and Amy couldn't forget that boy. At lunch, she dreamily searched her locker for the brown sack that contained her pastrami sandwich on white bread, a side of ham jello, and a jar of milk. Two kids walked by. She overheard them say her name and paused.
Did you hear Joffrey and Amy are in the running for valedictorian?
Joffrey and who?
Amy, the girl with the...
Oh, good luck with those earlobes.
Amy felt tears pricking at the corners of her eyes and buried her head in her locker. A hand grabbed her shoulder and she let out a yelp. Brenda leaned on the locker next to hers.
Whoa, you're jumpy today. You'll be thrilled to know I've done some research. Boy research.
You know, if you studied your books as much as the boys' swim team roster, you'd be
class valedictorian. I know, but being beautiful, smart, and feeling invisible is your thing.
Amy nodded, agreeing that those things were true. Brenda leaned forward conspiratorially.
So get this. His name is Jason Frampta. He's a bad boy. Rich. Very rich. From up the hill. He goes to our school now because all the all-boys private school he used to go to burned down in a mysterious fire. And he was the sole survivor.
How are you just reading? Yeah. So not only is he handsome and intense, but he has a tragic and intriguing past. And he...
Noticed you? Yep.
Amy's locker banged shut, making her jump.
Hey, what's the big... Oh, Jeffrey.
Amy rolled her eyes. Joffrey Spash, Amy's locker neighbor and intellectual nemesis, stood with his hand on her locker door, his bright blue eyes boring into hers intensely. His white blonde hair was neatly combed and parted down the middle, and the muscles of his arm were inches from Amy's face.
I just wanted to wish you good luck with valedictorian.
Amy pushed his arm aside.
Too bad Amy's gonna mop the floor with you.
Joffrey was very handsome and intense, but in a different way than Jason, in that his skin was tan and his hair was blonde.
Joffrey shook his head and began opening his own locker.
Whatever, I have an edge to win because of who moved my cheese.
Your what?
The book my business dad gave me, Who Moved My Cheese. It's a parable to teach corporate achievers about change and success, written by Dr. Spencer Johnson, the groundbreaking author of One Minute Manager. It's really given me a winner's outlook.
He swung his locker door open and blanched. His locker was empty.
Who moved my cheese?
I have no idea what you're talking about. But as for the race of valedictorian, I'm sure hard work will dictate who the winner is, not some book.
Joffrey slammed his locker shut. Amy found herself chest to chest with him. He slammed both hands on either side of her head, caging her in. He leaned close.
Old beliefs do not lead you to new cheese.
He spun away from her and stalked down the hall. Amy's heart was thumping in her throat.
His breath, it smelled like freshly tilled earth and a sea breeze.
Wow, two ecosystems? That's hot, hot, hot. Speaking of hot, got a hot date to the prom?
You know I don't. Not with these earlobes. You?
You know I don't. Not with these 2 pounds.
The girls giggled. Brenda's face turned serious.
But that's no excuse not to go. We should go shopping for dresses. I know we could definitely find something exquisite for you and a trash bag for me. Mall tonight?
Amy remembered Jason's fiery gaze and wondered if their paths would cross at the prom.
Mall tonight.
Chapter 2. Amy and Brenda had scoured the mall for dresses and hadn't found anything just right. They decided to refuel at the food court. Amy picked at her Panda Express Kung Pao chicken distractedly, while Brenda stared at her Sbarro's grapefruit in disgust. Amy pushed her chicken across the table to Brenda, and Brenda dug in gratefully. Amy grinned.
I just love how fun it is to share our snack items.
I love it a little too much.
Amy gasped.
Oh my God, that's it! Prom potluck!
What an innovative idea, Amy. Our prom finally has a theme. Prom potluck 1994. You are so creative, and I admire this about you.
Brenda and Amy were not on a prom committee, but they were sure the idea would somehow be executed.
They finished their lunch feeling reinvigorated with their new idea for the prom. They set out for the side of the mall that was always undergoing construction and noticed a new shop.
Whoa, ribbons and threads? I've never seen this place before. Look at all of this male and female prom wear.
Brenda bounced with enthusiasm as they walked in. Amy felt a flutter of excitement as she took in the dresses. Beautiful dresses of every color lined the walls. Amy turned over the price tag of a sapphire blue number and gulped.
Wait, Brenda. Remember, we're lower middle class. And these dresses are decidedly upper middle class.
That's what the sale racks are for, silly.
Brenda pulled Amy toward a rack in the back of the store.
These are a little plain, sure, but still pretty. Ugh, nothing that would suit me. This place probably doesn't even sell old wet trash bags.
Amy nodded and held a pale pink number with cap sleeves up to herself.
Maybe this? Is it too daring?
Only if you live in a convent. Try it on.
Brenda ushered Amy to the dressing rooms, and Amy tried on her dress. It fit fine and was decently pretty, but nothing special.
Come on, Amy. Fashion show?
Amy stepped out of the dressing room and shrugged.
I don't know. It's
pretty and conservative.
Just then, the front door chimed. Amy could hear hints of a smooth male baritone voice. Before she realized what she was doing, she walked towards the voice. Brenda followed.
It's Jason, that handsome and mysterious rich boy with an intriguing past. I wonder what he's buying.
Amy elbowed Brenda to be quiet, but it was too late. The new boy turned their way and once again locked eyes with Amy. The whites of his eyes grew and his sensual lips curled in a cruel sneer. Amy tore her eyes away from his and focused instead on his purchase.
A cummerbund, is that for prom?
He laughed harshly.
This is a brunch cummerbund.
Oh, we're trying on prom dresses. I was just telling Amy that she looked beguiling traditionalist in her dress.
He stalked toward Amy, raking his eyes over her. He reached his hand toward her and ghosted the side of her face. He continued tracing her form, breathing really, really hard. Amy was sure he was about to touch her shoulder, but instead he flipped the tag of the dress and murmured into her ear.
As I suspected, made in Milwaukee.
How did you know I was born in Milwaukee? I moved here when I was 2.
He smirked.
I meant the dress, but thanks for your life story.
He backed away and surveyed the store. He grabbed a satin emerald green dress with a fitted bodice and a daring neckline. He tossed the dress at Amy.
I know I'm not used to it, but try something classy. A new shine of paint could make you a little less Ford Taurus and a little more Lincoln Town Car.
Or a Maserati.
Let's not go crazy.
The clerk finished ringing up his cummerbund. He threw several crumpled up $100 bills on the counter and vanished out the door.
Whoa. Sexy. The dress and the guy.
How rude. I've never been so insulted in my entire life. Being so rich, you'd think he could afford manners.
Amy looked down at the dress in her hands and thought of the electricity she felt when he almost touched her face.
I just really hate him.
Brenda eyed the dress.
But you're trying it on, right?
Of course I'm trying it on.
In the dress, Amy looked transcendent. Her lips looked sensual, her eyes were brighter, and she looked magical. Most importantly, it took the focus away from her unsightly earlobes.
You looked perfect. Oh, I wish I could pull something like this off, but these 2 pounds would really show.
Amy looked at the price tag.
$199.99? I don't have that kind of money. We're poor, but also not so poor that it bums people out to read about. I'll just have to put it back and get the Milwaukee dress instead.
Out of nowhere, an old woman in her 30s appeared.
Wait. I'm the owner of this fly-by-night formal wear store. I saw you in that dress, and it's like it was made for you. I couldn't possibly sell it to anyone else.
The old woman in her 30s gave Amy a motherly smile, and her kind eyes crinkled, oldly.
I can sell it to you at cost.
Why, that's exactly how much money I have in my bank account. Amy got out her checkbook and began to write a check. 12 minutes later, they were leaving the store.
What a find! And I found a dress too.
You did?
The bag yours came in, silly.
The girls laughed. That night, Amy sat down at her ivory-colored desk to do her schoolwork. Amy loved her desk. It went perfectly with her plush eggshell carpeting and creamy cream-colored down comforter. She decorated the room herself after being inspired by an old white paint chip she found in the woods.
As she wrote out her thoughts about Romeo and Juliet, which they were studying in Mr. Schneezer's English class, she heard an ominous voice from inside her closet.
Beware the dress! Beware the dress! Beware the dress!
It was the voice from her dream the night before, but now here, in real life! She looked over to her closet. An eerie green light shone from behind the door. Amy stood and tentatively walked toward it. She was afraid, but she just had to know what was in there. She flung the door open, and inside was a skeleton wearing her brand new prom dress. Amy screamed!
Chapter 3. Amy's head bolted upright. That was no scream. That was the school bell. It was the day after she bought the prom dress, and she'd fallen asleep in Mr. Schneezer's class. What a relief. Tommy Pastel, the acceptable-looking boy who sat next to her, put a hand on her elbow.
Are you all right, Amy? It's not like you fall asleep in class.
I think so. I guess I was up so late going over my notes that I...
Amy gasped. Her Romeo and Juliet notes had been destroyed. Beware the dress was scribbled on them over and over. Tommy is not cute enough to be involved in the rest of this story, so he didn't react to this. We'll assume he left the room. We wish the best to him and his family. Don't worry about tracking him. Amy stood, shaking.
Get it together, Amy. Between valedictorian, prom, and your earlobes, you have bigger things to worry about than some writing fugue.
After school, Amy rushed home. After putting the incident in Mr. Schneezer's out of her mind, what had she been writing again? No matter. All she could think about was the prom dress hanging in her closet. As soon as she was in her room, she instantly dialed Brenda's cellular telephone. Brenda was the only one in school who used a cellular telephone because her father was a pole inspector for the telephone company. They were able to afford it because they used Mint Mobile. It was 4G LTE, but only $15 a month. So even on a lowly pole inspector's salary, it was well within their budget.
Amy wished that her parents worked as pole inspectors instead of international travelers, because then she could have a Mint Mobile cellular telephone plan. She imagined that even in the year 2020, the prices would still be $15 a month for the same service as the big wireless companies. After all, why pay more for the same service?
Wow. Mint Mobile was innovative because they reimagined the wireless shopping experience and made it easy and online only. Although Amy didn't technically know what the internet was, this intrigued her.
By eliminating the traditional costs of retail and going digital, Mint Mobile was able to pass significant savings directly to the customer.
Why, with Mint Mobile, a person could cut their bill down to $15 a month for the same premium coverage. Plus, it was owned by Canadian teen heartthrob Ryan Reynolds, who is on Amy's favorite Canadian teen soap opera, Hillside. Amy thought about all of this long and hard and was startled when Brenda answered.
Thank God you called. I've just been sitting here sipping cabbage soup and wondering if you've tried your dress on yet.
I'm about to.
Ooh, try it on while I'm on the phone.
Amy rolled her eyes. That Brenda. Setting the phone on the bed, she took off her boring school clothes and slipped the dress on. The transformation was instant. Amy rolled her shoulders back, admiring her new confidence. She picked up the phone.
Rich snob or not, that guy has good taste.
Hey, Bren. My parents are out of town visiting the Bermuda Triangle again. Want to come over and order pizza?
Suddenly, the halter straps of the dress, which showed off Amy's form, felt a little too tight.
I'll come over, but only if we order cabbage pizza.
Were the straps actually getting tighter? Amy struggled to hold the phone with one hand and loosen the straps with the other. They only got tighter. Amy was choking. She dropped the phone in a panic, pulling at the straps.
Get it? Because of my diet?
Amy thrashed on the ground, pulling at the straps and gasping for air.
Okay, not every joke can be a zinger, I guess.
Amy pulled at the tightening straps as spots twinkled at the corners of her eyes. She gave a final gasp as darkness closed in.
Chapter 4. Amy gasped and sat up. She took in her surroundings. She was on the kitchen floor, surrounded by spilled cereal and milk. What a terrible dream!
I must have been sleepy. Shouldn't have stayed up so late staring at my dress.
She stood, dusting stray cereal bits off her pants. She spied a torn scrap of paper on the counter next to a small gray object. As she neared, she gasped again. It was a decapitated bird's head.
And it's probably dead. Her stomach lurched. She gingerly grabbed the scrap of paper and read aloud.
You're next.
She threw the scrap on the ground and ran to the sink. She barfed a little and then splashed her face with water. She felt much better.
Kids need to stop playing such mean pranks. I can't believe I've been pranked.
Amy looked at the clock. 8 p.m. She needed to forget this whole debacle. She picked up the phone to call Brenda's Mint Mobile cellular telephone, only this time for real.
Chapter 5. Amy and Brenda collapsed into their usual booth at Burger Boys.
Double chocolate malt are just what the doctor ordered.
Brenda smiled up at their waitress.
I'll have a cabbage. I'll have a cabbage and iceberg lettuce salad with ranch dressing and a side of cottage cheese.
I'll have a juicy cheeseburger, boy, double, extra peppers, and a Coke.
As the waitress left with their orders, Amy bit her lip and contemplated telling Brenda about her strange dreams and the decapitated bird prank, but she was interrupted by a loud whooping.
It's the Rutabaga Boys. Aren't I just got a lot more raucous and silly?
Patty, class clown and de facto leader of the Rutabaga Boys, slid in next to Amy and threw his arm around her. Johnny and Rico piled in next to Brenda.
You ladies got dates for the prom? Yeah, real hot ones.
The waitress arrived with the girls' food and looked at the boys expectantly.
You got Rutabaga?
The boys and Brenda cackled and Amy stifled a giggle. Their trademark joke never stopped being funny.
You know what? Enough of this shit. This is my third double shift and you kids come in here every damn day asking for rutabagas. I don't know what kind of fucked up bit you're doing, but you're making a mockery of my livelihood. I don't have time for your nonsense non-jokes. One more mention of rutabagas and your ass is out of here.
The waitress dropped the plates on the table with a clang.
Bon appetit.
Patty shrugged and grabbed two tomato slices off of Amy's juicy cheese burger boy double. He stuck them on his eyes.
Save the dance for me because I've only got eyes for you.
Even Amy burst out laughing this time. Patty's jokes were just too much. Mid-laugh, she froze. Her eyes were locked with a dark, piercing gaze. Jason! She could feel heat on her cheeks from the intensity of his stare. Brenda followed her gaze.
Whoa, he's looking at you like he wants to tear you apart. Like in a murder way. Like in a sexy murder way.
Speaking of spicy...
Patty grabbed a pepper off of Amy's plate and chomped down.
Woo!
He spat pepper chunks all over the table. Amy didn't even notice how smoothly and appropriately Patty incorporated his food humor into the conversation because she couldn't tear her eyes away from Jason.
He was standing by the bathrooms. Was he waiting in line to use the facilities? How long had he been waiting there?
Brenda and the Rutabaga Boys' loud and silly jokes continued around Amy while Jason strangled her eyes with his eyes. Amy's belly was full of butterflies, and she could think of nothing but dancing one. With Jason at the prom in the dress that he threw at her.
I'm a boy meets sandwich.
Amy jumped and turned her attention to her friends. Patty was squishing his face between the buns of her burger. Her meal lay destroyed on her plate. She burst out laughing.
Really, Patty, your jokes are just too wild sometimes.
When she looked back to the bathroom, Jason was gone.
the Rutabaga boys left in their 60s convertible to go do donuts outside of Spratly's Grocer. Brenda and Amy walked to Brenda's Saturn S series. Amy paused.
Actually, I think I'll walk.
What? You live like 15 miles away.
Amy thought of Jason. Maybe she'd run into him on her walk home.
I could use the air.
Brenda shrugged.
Fine by me. Call me later.
Chapter 6. Amy made her way down the main road through town.
I do live awfully far from here. I wonder if I should have taken Brenda up on her offer. This is going to take hours.
She looked at the vast, dark, treacherous woods that lay beyond the road.
I'll cut through Menace Woods instead. I'll be home in just 5 minutes that way.
Amy made her way down the steep embankment towards the woods, thinking of Jason. What was it about her that he hated so? Her lack of money? The fact that her green eyes weren't perfectly green but instead had intriguing flecks of yellow in them? No, it was probably her earlobes.
Just then, she heard the snap of a twig. And were those footsteps? Not bothering to look or take a second to think about it, Amy ran. The footsteps followed. She ran and ran and ran. Leaves crunched underfoot. Branches reached out and scratched her face. A raccoon gave her a dirty look, but still, she ran. Suddenly, a foot grabbed her ankle and she fell, sprawled out.
A man, probably 5'11 and 155 to 189 pounds, tackled her to the ground, knocking the breath out of her lungs. She struggled to stand up. Looking around, she expected to find her assailant brandishing some kind of nature weapon, like a mid-sized boulder or perhaps a log, but saw nothing. She looked down. It was only a small twig that had tripped her. She reached on her back and discovered her attacker. A small leaf had fallen on her shoulder. In her fear, she'd only imagined it was a man of 5'11". The footsteps were only in her mind.
Stupid Amy.
That's right. Too stupid to be valedictorian.
Joffrey!
Isn't this interesting? Here I am looking for my who moved my cheese. And who do I find but the person most likely to have moved my who moved my cheese?
You've just been circling the woods hoping to find a book? That's 20 square miles.
Yes. I've divided the woods into 57 grids and have been systematically searching each one. This is grid 23. After all, it's safer to search the maze than to remain in a cheeseless situation.
You're not making any sense.
No, I need my who moved my cheese. I need to become valedictorian so that I can go to Oberlin.
But don't you already have a violin scholarship there?
You're trying to distract me and it won't work.
The moon glinted off his bright blue eyes. He grabbed her arm. His ropey muscles tightened beneath his shirt, calling attention to the fact that he was very strong as well as smart and driven. Suddenly, Amy felt quite afraid.
Joffrey, you're scaring me.
Don't play dumb. I know you've read the book by now and understand the clever parable. I know you're the one who moved my cheese. Otherwise, why would it be out in the woods? Why would I be out in the woods trying to make it? Sure, you wouldn't find it.
I didn't. I wasn't. I was just taking the shortcut home from Burger Boys.
Instead of taking the main road?
Yes, the main road would take hours, whereas a shortcut through the woods...
would only take 5 minutes, yes.
Joffrey held her in his grip for a moment longer, then shoved her away. He raked a hand through his thick, white blonde hair.
Fine, Amy. Perhaps you're telling the truth. But I'm a sniff or scurry. So if you're a hem or haw, I promise you, you're finished. Finished!
At that, he turned and began working on grid 24.
I don't know what any of that means!
Amy had to catch her breath. Although he sounded insane, there was something thrilling about his intensity. She found herself confused by their vaguely abusive interaction.
Chapter 7. At home, Amy was still trembling from Jason's murder gaze, Joffrey's murder grip, and all that running and falling.
I need to calm myself down with a cold glass of milk, stat!
Up in her room, Amy set her glass of ice-cold milk carefully onto a coaster, which was on her desk for that exact reason. She went to her closet and opened it, sighing.
It really is the most beautiful dress.
Carefully, Amy took it off its hanger and stepped into the skirts. But when she pulled the zipper up, a stabbing pain shot up her back. She screamed.
pulling the zipper back down, she screamed again. She pulled the zipper back up and screamed yet again. She must be doing something wrong. Gritting her teeth, she zipped it back down one more time, hoping that would do it, and howled with pain.
Something dawned on her. It was probably the zipper itself that was hurting her. To test her theory, she zipped it back up once more with shaking hands. It was the same stabbing pain because that's how zippers work. Gulping for air and sobbing loudly, she readied herself and zipped the dress down one final time and let out a ragged wail. She stepped out of the dress. Drops of blood hit her beautiful alabaster carpet.
Oh no, my beautiful alabaster carpet! Examining the dress, she found a needle had been glued onto the zipper. Kids need to stop playing such mean pranks. I can't believe I've been pranked.
Amy limped, chapter 8. Amy limped up to her locker the next day at school, still shaken and pretty injured from the stabbing prank. Brenda, eating cabbage soup out of a crock pot with a wooden spoon, joined her.
Wow, kid, you don't look so hot.
Amy told her about the dead bird prank and the needle prank because for some reason, Brenda driving her to school isn't a consistent practice and Amy was only just seeing her now. Hearing about it, Brenda laughed.
That's hilarious. Kids are so crazy with their pranks.
But don't you think it might mean something?
Maybe if it had happened 3 times because that would make it a pattern, but only 2 times? That just makes it funny.
Amy sighed and opened her locker. Inside was a dead cat hanging from a noose, flies buzzing around its lifeless eyes. Blood pooled at the bottom of her locker, ruining her 3 copies of Romeo and Juliet. Amy screamed.
Oh no, Mittens!
Who?
Looking closer, Amy realized that it was only a stuffed cat. And that the blood was just ketchup. The buzzing that had sounded like flies was merely the buzzing of the overhead fluorescent lights. And as to why she thought she literally saw flies, there are many studies on how stress can make you see things, probably. Oh, right. I don't have a cat. Look, there's a note. If you had a cat, this would be that cat. To be clear, this is a threat.
Amy gasped.
How awful! This makes the 3rd prank! Someone really is out to get me!
Actually, when I think about it, the dead bird head and needle were more like half a prank each. So this only makes 2 pranks, so it's still technically funny.
Oh, yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Sure does. Now, let's head to the cafeteria for lunch. This crock pot is real heavy!
Chapter 9. Amy munched on her ham salad sandwich, still thinking about the funny pranks that kept happening to her, when a firm male hand slapped the sandwich out of her hands, sending it flying. Amy looked up to see who was connected to the confident male hand. Jason J. Frempt. I heard that was your name at least.
You shouldn't be putting that garbage into your body. Walk with me.
Strode away from the table, his long legs taking great strides. Amy collected her things and struggled to catch up.
Okay, I'll just wait here.
Why did you... I was eating that and... He stopped abruptly, causing her to bump into him. The bump was electric. He turned to her.
Listen, do you want to go to prom or not?
His hands were shoved into his pockets and... Was he actually blushing?
Yes, I'll go to prom with you.
Great, I'll pick you up in a luxury vehicle at 7. You'll know it because it'll likely be the only luxury vehicle on your street.
With that, he stomped off. What just happened? And what am I going to eat now?
Chapter 10. At home, Amy sat on her bed in her undergarments, looking at her closet door nervously. She was dying to try the dress on again, but the cuts on her back still stung, and she remembered the pain of the funny needle prank that she'd been remembering since it happened. Steeling her nerve with the exciting thought of Jason's harsh prom invite, Amy took a deep breath and opened the door. She had a boy to impress after all. The dress hung innocently on its hanger. Amy looked it over for additional pranks. No needles. She breathed a sigh of relief and stepped into it, zipping it up painlessly. Woo!
She ran her hands over the deliciously verdant satin, noting what a stark contrast it made with her powdery room. Maybe it was time to explore other colors. Lavender, perhaps, or even lilac. The thought made her flush with its brazen daring. She'd better get out of this dress before her thoughts began to run wild. She stepped out, placed it carefully back on its shop hanger.
Suddenly, she felt an itchy burning sensation on her back. What could it be now? She'd already checked for needles. Besides, itching is not what needles do. Amy turned her back to the floor-length mirror on the back of her closet door to see if she could find a spider bite or other itch thing. But then, when she looked in the mirror, there was no spider bite. There was a rash on her back, and it spelled out the word bitch backwards so she could read it in the mirror.
How could this have happened? The doorbell rang, and Amy quickly got back into her polo and khakis, covering the bad word. She raced downstairs and opened the door to find Brenda, weighed down by food supplies. She looked at Brenda quizzically. Are you breaking your diet?
Amy, don't tell me you forgot we're working on the prom potluck today.
I'm such a dolt. I've been distracted by the dress and that I forgot about our awesome theme, which we still need to run by the actual prom committee or literally anyone else. Well, let's put a pin in that. Come on in.
In the kitchen, they stirred, sifted, folded, added, minced, chopped, queered, beat, warmed, chilled, let set, put in proving drawer, sautéed, fried, air-fried, flash-fried, slow-roasted, pressure-cooked, and basted. Amy was determined to forget the funny pranks and just make the best banana casserole the school had ever seen. But just as she was totally focused on the task at hand, Brenda stopped her.
Amy, what's that?
I thought it would be fun to write Prom Potluck 1994 in frosting.
No, Amy, look.
Amy looked down, and she had another of her trademark gasps, horrified by what she saw. She hadn't been writing Prom Potluck 1994 in frosting on the casserole at all. She'd been writing Beware the Dress.
What a funny prank.
No, Brenda, I wrote this just now. I'm holding the pipe.
I get it. You're pranking your prankster.
No, I didn't even realize I was writing it.
Your sense of humor is so wild. You're so, like, out there.
No, Brenda, something really spooky is happening. And I don't know why, but I feel like it might be connected to my prom dress.
I don't see the connection.
Chapter 11. Well, it was prom night now. Amy stood downstairs, staring at her reflection. She looked glamorous. Like herself, but not herself at all. Best of all, she'd curled two perfect tendrils on either side of her face, hiding her earlobes enough that they looked almost normal.
She'd been nervous to put on the dress again after the last two times. But this time, a rat just clawed its way up the bodice, sending her shrieking and crying to the bathroom. She was just relieved that it wasn't another prank, or was it? And made a mental note to tell her parents to call an exterminator when they got home from the Bermuda Triangle, or the Tri, as they lovingly called it.
A horn honked from outside. It had to be Jason. It was too authoritative a honk to be anyone else. She grabbed the banana casserole and stepped out onto the porch, hoping he'd be so dazzled by her beauty that he wouldn't notice her family couldn't afford a porch swing. Trouncing down the steps to his luxury vehicle, he was right. She could tell right away it was his. She felt like a princess in a fairy story.
She reached for the handle of the passenger door, but heard a muffled grunt from inside and pulled her hand away. Had he changed his mind about taking her? She feared him driving off, having a laugh at her expense. Was she just a comfortably lower middle class joke to him? But instead of driving away, he got out of the car, came around to her side, and opened the door for her. She glowed at this gentlemanly gesture.
You look beautiful.
Thank you. I...
He grabbed her elbow roughly.
You shouldn't.
I what?
When beautiful girls look beautiful, they can get hurt.
Oh.
Well, get in already. We'll be late.
He shoved her into the car and she collapsed
prettily into the passenger seat. Jason's eyes glinted as he slammed the door, catching the hem of her gown. Amy felt a thrill at such a luxurious vehicle in her dress.
By the time they pulled up to the school, the stars were out and twinkling, further adding to Amy's excitement. Jason even helped her out of the car, too. He took the banana casserole from her and handed his keys to a kindly old valet.
Wow, the prom committee budgeted for a valet.
No, that's Maurice. He's my family valet. He drives ahead of us to wherever we're going, so by the time we get there, we'll set up the family. Take our keys and park our car.
Why don't you just hire a driver?
What now?
A driver. They could just drive you to wherever you're going instead of rushing to get there before you, and then you wouldn't have to double up and take two separate cars.
Wow, you really don't know anything about money, do you?
Is it that obvious?
Yes. That's why I just said that?
Amy stared wonderingly at him as he spoke in hushed whispers to Maurice, presumably about the best place to park the car.
Amy couldn't make heads or tails of Jason. He asked her to prom, but also he seemed to actively hate her. Who was this confusing brute? Was she even safe with him? She should hate him back, but remembering his tragic backstory and various ropey muscles, found that she couldn't.
Inside the gym, Amy marveled at the amazing job the prom committee had done. It looked like a wonderland, mostly because they'd chosen the theme of Alice in Wonderland instead of prom potluck. Amy set her banana casserole next to the punch bowl anyway, not wanting good food to go to waste.
Jason seemed to be taking a long time to coordinate with Maurice, so she looked around for Brenda, finally spotting her 2 feet away on the other side of the punch bowl.
Hey, Bren, I was looking all over for you.
You should have known just where to look. Right by the food.
Brenda, you look amazing in your dress. Did you lose 2 pounds?
Brenda was wearing a gorgeous, strapless, shimmering red gown with a deep slit up the side like Jessica Rabbit in the 1989 Robert Zemeckis film Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
No, it turns out the weight was just in my great breasts.
That's amazing, Brenda. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, I'm moving to Paris next week to compete in an international fashion model competition.
The girls smiled and bobbed their heads appreciatively to the music.
Wow, this music is tops. I can't believe they cut the Rat Stranglers to play their rocking new metal reggae tune. Not only are they the most popular band in school, but they are also the winners of this year's Beach Battle of the Bands.
It's totally grooving. So, where's your troubled hunk?
Oh, Jason? He's talking to the valet attendant.
What valet attendant?
Suddenly, Joffrey appeared. Amy hated to admit it, but Joffrey looked dashing in his midnight blue tuxedo, which really brought out the whites of his hair and the tans of his face.
What do you want, Joffrey? I don't have your business book.
Well, you don't you? Well, how about you prove it by dancing with me?
Fine, I will. I have nothing to hide.
Joffrey roughly took her hand and dragged her out onto the floor. There he pulled her close, looked deep in her eyes, and then leaned his cheek against hers. He put his hand on her waist, and Amy felt her pulse quicken traitorously. It was the hand he used to write notes with, his strongest hand, and Amy felt like a pencil he was determined to use to get ahead, but a beautiful pencil, like a Ticonderoga. Did Joffrey think of her as more than just competition?
They're crowning the valedictorian at 9.
Jesus.
Sorry, Amy gulped.
I know that.
There's still time to give me my who moved my cheese.
Amy pulled away.
Is that all this is about?
I won't be the loser, Amy. I'm the winner. I'm daddy's little winner. You won't get away with this.
Suddenly, Amy felt a different pair of strong hands on her.
Get away from my date, pal.
Jason pushed Joffrey.
If you want to find your book, Maybe try filing out a report with the police.
I did, but they laughed at me.
I think you'd better go, Joffrey. Jason has a past.
You know about my past.
I'll get you, small lobes. You're not at the end of the maze. You're at the center.
Joffrey stomped away, pushing a dancing couple into a cutout of a caterpillar smoking a hookah as he went. Jason embraced Amy and began to dance with her, looking deep into her eyes.
How did you know?
About your past, Brenda told me.
Who?
Brenda, my best friend. She's been around for every interaction of ours.
I guess I only had eyes for you.
Really? I thought maybe because you... Oh, never mind. It seems so silly now.
Amy closed her eyes and leaned in to kiss Jason, but she felt herself jolted backward.
We can't, Amy. This is wrong.
Tears formed in Amy's eyes.
I'm so embarrassed. I have to get out of here.
Amy, no. I won't let you get away from me.
What are you talking about? You just rejected me. Arg! I literally don't know what is happening at any given moment with you or with Joffrey. And now it turns out Brenda was banging this whole time? Let me go.
Amy ran, or she didn't know where she was running. She just ran. Okay, and this brings us to the poll. Where
wow.
does Amy go, y'all? Where does Amy go? Okay.
You guys are doing such a good job.
It's really, truly, like, really beautiful. I'm so pleased.
It's all in the writing. On
the- It's the work. Yeah. It's the work. It's just, like, living through us. It's so good.
So we need the audience to tell us, where does Amy run? You can influence the end of this story with your votes.
All right. So the votes are the school pool, the woods, the abandoned mansion that we've never mentioned before. To vote for the school pool, type in !vote pool. For the woods, !vote woods. For the abandoned mansion that we've never mentioned before, !vote mansion.
Mansion.
Let's get those votes going, everyone. Wow, chat is fucking popping, y'all.
Wow. Ooh.
Votes are coming in. Votes are coming in.
We are truly honored by your guys' talent. Thank you so much.
Omar, that accent
incredible.
Inspired.
I mean, my first thought is amazing, and my second thought is why.
Truly.
That's actually how I sound. I have to put on this affectation to try to get back into it.
That makes a lot of sense. It makes
well, you
so
need
you
to
are
do
Jason.
So many women with that other accent. Yeah. I feel like you wouldn't be able to get anything done.
So you have to cover it.
I can't work on my spec scripts with all these women.
They just show up.
All right. Okay. The votes are closed, I believe. Yes, votes are closed. Vote is closed. All right, y'all. The winner is the abandoned mansion that we've never mentioned before.
Yay! I can't say I'm shocked
either. Hey, John Hex Place, thank you so much for gifting those. Appreciate that. Okay. Abandoned mansion that I will say close second was school pool, because I think people wanted to see a little bit of shirtless boy action.
Ooh. I think you like the rhyme. School pool.
School pool.
We'll never know.
School pool.
All right.
All right, so actors, you can just keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
All right. Chapter 12. After giving it some thought, Amy eventually realized she was running to the only place no one would think to look for her, the abandoned mansion on the bad side of town that was rumored to be haunted by the ghost of Anthony Fright, the nephew of Milton Von Fright, founder of Frightington, where Amy lived. Surely, there she could collect her thoughts and heartbreak in peace.
Amy eased the ancient door of the crumbling Victorian home open.
Hello? Is anyone here?
The house was silent. Amy breathed a sigh of relief.
I knew those rumors were just silly ghost stories.
But a voice called out from the dark.
You voiced your last inner monologue, Amy Sinclair.
Amy gasped.
Who's there? Joffrey? Jason? The waitress from Burger Boys who hates our jokes about rutabagas?
None of those. But that last one was a good guess. It would have been a satisfying payoff to what seemed like a minor interaction, but no, it's me.
From the shadows emerged a familiar face. Amy gasped.
The old woman who owns Ribbons and Threads? What are you doing here?
It was the old woman in her 30s from Ribbons and Threads.
Forgot about me, huh? Even a waitress warranted for suspicion. You never even guessed that it was me sabotaging your dress.
You were the one pranking me?
Look, could you please stop calling them pranks?
But why? Why did you put the needle and the itching powder in the dress?
And the rat. Don't forget the rat.
Oh, no. That was a prank, too?
They're not pranks. They're threats. Threats. They're threats.
I'm sorry. Why have you been threatening me?
Revenge. Revenge.
What did I do to you?
Not you. Your mother.
Amy gasped.
Oh, go ahead. No. I think
the old woman in her 30s began to advance toward her slowly. Amy saw something flash in the darkness of the mansion. It was moonlight bouncing off a large pair of dressmaker's shears in the old woman's hands.
You see, I went to high school with your mother and father. Senior year, your father was my boyfriend, not Sandra's.
Who's Sandra?
That's your mother. Do you not know your own mother's name?
I just think of her as mom.
Well, I think of her as boyfriend stealer. I was his prom date, not her. But when he saw her get crowned valedictorian that night, I saw something change in his eyes. Her book learning bewitched him. He broke up with me. The next day, they were married, and a year later. He broke up with me the next day, and they were married a year later.
But why come after me?
They got married so young because your mother got pregnant with you. If you hadn't come along, I would have had a chance to steal him back.
But that's a crazy leap in logic. No one is making any goddamn sense lately.
And now, here you are. Your senior year, probably about to be crowned valedictorian, just like your mother. History repeats itself, but not if I don't let it.
She lunged at Amy with the shears held high. They sliced through the air with deadly accuracy, but Amy somersaulted out of the way, able to dodge the sharp blade on account of being an award-winning gymnast as a child, although she no longer competed.
I put in so much work, Amy, so many long hours. First, I had to start a formal wear shop. The paperwork took ages. I had to incorporate, hire an accountant. After that, I had to bide my time until they began construction on the mall and storefronts vacated so that I could claim one. What is now Ribbons and Threads used to be a Crown Books. Then I had to wait patiently for you to decide to go to prom day after day. I watched for you, watching one teen after another try on my beautiful dresses. And finally, you arrived.
Isn't that a bit much just to...
I was desperate to get you in a dress, any dress. That honey boy threw that emerald one at you. It was my chance, so I offered it to you at cost.
I would have just bought the pink cap sleeve dress, even if you hadn't.
And that's when the real work began. In addition to the fake work of running the dress shop, while you were at school, I will put my "Be back in 5" sign on the door, and I reached your house.
Couldn't you have just closed whenever you felt like it?
I had an affair with a locksmith years earlier and knew how to fashion a skeleton key that would open any door in the city. With it, I was able to get inside at the bird's head. Then I ran back to my store. Then on another lunch break, planted the needle, then I ran back to the store. Then the next day, I took a breakfast break instead of a lunch break. And hung a stuffed cat in your locker. Then the next day, I took a lunch again and carefully applied glue to the dress, spelling out the word bitch backwards. Then I sprinkled cooking powder on the glue, thus marking you with the derogatory term, but backwards, because I knew you'd have to look in the mirror. Then I ran back to work, and then there was the poison.
There was poison?
And then a number of days later, I see you in the dress, whom I've been training to love the smell of satin.
Why would you need to?
And is my ultimate triumph. I post subliminal messages throughout the gym so that your subconscious would tell you to flee at the first sign of a stressful situation and hide here in Anthony Bright's abandoned Victorian mansion.
Please. You don't have to do this.
You little idiot. You think I'm going to open a mattress shop and run all skeleton keys and dead animals and itching powder just to let you go now? No, Amy. No. Amy, it's time to die.
The old woman lunged at Amy. Amy grabbed a haunted oil painting off the wall behind her and threw it at the woman, momentarily knocking her off balance. Amy ran up the stairs, crying for help. But who would hear her here in this abandoned mansion on the bad side of town? The old woman clawed after Amy, finally grabbing her by the ankle, pulling Amy crashing down onto a step. As she fell, the ancient stairs gave way, and the two of them fell through the floorboards in the basement. You did this, Watchers. Luckily, Amy fell onto a couch, but the poor old woman had been impaled on a cracked plank of wood. There were other endings that we wrote, but you chose this one. Blood oozed from the corner of her mouth, which was pulled into a horrible smear. Even in death, her spinster face was full of hate.
Outside, the growing cries of a siren neared. Amy heard footsteps up above. Help had arrived, but she had to be hallucinating because just before she passed out, she thought she saw someone who looked exactly like Jason.
Chapter 13. Amy's eyes fluttered open. Her head ached and the room was so bright. Looking around, she realized that she was in a hospital room and Jason was holding her hand.
There's my girl. You gave us quite the scare.
You sure know how to make prom memorable. Here, you were voted valedictorian, Amy.
Brenda took out the valedictorian tiara and put it on Amy's head.
Wow, I really won?
Well, not exactly. You won by default because Joffrey fell off a cliff when he thought he saw his who moved my cheese on the jagged rocks below.
Oh, but the old woman from the dress shop, the mansion, the fall, was all of that real?
It sure was, kiddo.
But Jason, why were you there with the police?
Because I am the police. Amy, I'm an undercover officer.
Just then, Maurice, the kindly old valet at prom, walked in. Maurice, the valet at prom? What are you doing here?
That's no valet. That's my partner, Detective Mark Ringo.
Sorry for the subterfuge, Amy. We had to keep our undercover identities. I couldn't enroll at the school because I'd never pass on account of being an old man in my 30s.
I've been investigating Miss Twinklethorn, the spinster shop owner, for money laundering for months now. Miss Twinklethorn was running a phony dress shop to trap you, but also to pose as a front for the neighborhood drug cartel to funnel its money through. It was just a happy coincidence that he was also trying to kill you. Otherwise, we might have never met.
So you're not a high school student?
No, I'm afraid I'm 28, Amy.
28. And all that stuff about being rich and from a private school that burned down? That was a lie?
No, that's true. I am filthy rich, and I am the only surviving student of the mysterious fire at St. Hill Academy. In fact, it's what inspired me to go into law enforcement.
Why were you so cold to me, so angry all the time?
Ah, yeah. I had to keep my distance because I was becoming more and more attracted to you. Which is highly inappropriate, both because
I was on the job, and because of our age difference. But that day, when I knocked the poison ham salad out of your hands...
Oh, that was the poison!
The only way to protect you is to ask you for prom.
Yes, this makes sense. But why would you sometimes look at me with such hate? The first time we saw each other in the school parking lot...
Oh, you mean when a boy carelessly flicked his cigarette aside without putting it out?
Or in Burger Boys.
When I saw a neighborhood tough playing with a Zippo lighter behind you.
Yes, why did you look at me like that?
Because I wasn't looking at you, Amy. I was looking at my past. I have a condition. Whenever I see a flying or even the suggestion of fun, I experience what doctors call fine trances. On account of the trauma of living through a fire.
Oh, I see. How tragic.
Oh, very.
So what now? You just go to work on a different case? We never see each other again?
Not on your life, kiddo. I'm gonna wait for you. Wait until after college. Move out to live a little. Really come into your womanhood. And on your 25th birthday, you're gonna open the door to find a 35-year-old me holding a bouquet of roses, ready to start our lives together.
Ah, so romantic.
And you could love me, even with my small earlobes.
I love you because of your small earlobes.
Wow.
The end! Oh,
amazing.
My God.
You guys.
Oh, my God.
You guys, this was so...
This is legit, like, this is legit, like a real book.
You nailed it. You guys seriously did so amazing. I'm so happy.
We could not have asked for better actors.
Truly.
Exactly how I envisioned it when I was writing.
I mean, Kelly, honestly, the same. Some of the acting choices I did not envision, but I... When they happened, I was like, this is, it's like a dream I didn't know I had. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's so beautiful about collaboration is that everybody adds something to the artwork.
Making it fuller. Thank you guys so
much. So did anyone in the comments guess the killer?
Oh gosh, we were reading the whole time.
Not that I saw.
It was a pretty good twist.
Great twist.
Yeah. I did not see it coming.
Oh, everyone's saying nope. People are saying they did not see it coming.
Okay, fair. I loved Omar realizing
that it was him. I loved Omar realizing that his character was a cop. Like, he was like, oh, no.
Oh, I would have maybe made different choices, but you shouldn't have.
I like that he was, like, DCI instead of, like, an American cop. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Scott Windyard.
Beautiful work.
Thank you guys for... I love Justice for Brenda. She was the hottest one all along.
Oh, my God. She was a babe.
She was the hottest one.
She had those great breasts.
We were so happy.
Those 2 pounds were right in her boob. Right,
1 pound each breast.
I mean, if we're being realistic, it was probably like maybe one had a little more than the other. But
yeah, if we're going to be realistic. It's like 1.251, 1.275. Yeah, for sure. Oh, my God. People are saying they want to know what happens when Brenda goes to the international modeling competition in Paris.
Yes.
That should be our sequel.
Yes. That's for the sequel.
That's the next book in the Frightington series.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Dude, this was amazing. Thank you guys so much for coming on here.
Honored us with your talent. What a blast.
Really, really loved it. Why don't we start with Omar. Why don't you tell people where they can find you online?
Yeah, you can find me at Omar Najam on Twitter and Omar Najam Film on Instagram. And thank you for questing a podcast with its improvised RPG stuff that Kelly's also on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next up, why don't we do Oscar?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O. Yay!
Yay! Okay, what about Patrick?
You can find me on Twitter at Patrick_Ellers, and you can listen to Same Day Shipping, a podcast I do with Ryan and Kelly and our friend Colin, who doesn't read books, so he's never been on your show.
That's true. He would have been otherwise.
Yeah. He truly doesn't read books. That
he
wasn't
truly
a
doesn't.
Slam.
Like he
sounds like a
slam. It was a little bit.
No. Right. But I mean, he has said it, and he
it's
has
not his thing.
He has expressed a desire to not ever be on the show. So it's not it's not a slam.
It's not
on
a
him.
Slight. It's mutual.
It's service.
It's an agreement. Okay, why don't we go over here to Miss Ryan Mogi?
Hi, I'm Ryan Mogi, and you can find me on all the socials at R Mogi. So R-M-O-G-G-E. My TikTok is mostly me and my dog doing duets together.
Perfect.
So either that's totally your thing or not your thing. But either way, you can see them on TikTok.
People in the chat are saying that Queen Mogi, no one should ever play Amy but you is perfect. So awesome.
Why would we?
So awesome.
Why would we?
Why would we? Why would we?
Fantastic. Yeah, well, when we do the off-Broadway version, I'm ready.
Turning this into a musical.
Oh my god!
A jukebox musical?
Oh my god!
Only if Broccoli can have a Javert-esque suicide scene at the end.
Oh my god,
it's
Ryan! A jukebox
Levine
musical?
Jukebox.
Yes, Lindsay.
Oh my god! Wait, hold on. I want to actually. Oh shoot! Because I did have the perfect idea of. If it's not Avril Lavigne for what's his name's death at the end where he falls off the cliff, it's like
Joffrey.
Joffrey, an aerial, like a drone shot of like him on the rocks. And it's like, I'm not a perfect person.
There's many things I wish I didn't do.
Oh my God. And as you pull out on the edge of the cliff is his book.
Oh. And then you find out, and then you find out that the book is singing the song.
Oh, the book's like, I'm not a
just flapping.
Oh my god, beautiful. Wonderful. All right, well, thank you all so much.
Happy prom.
Happy prom. And also, I'm gonna just, you know, shamelessly, if you liked what you saw, mm-hmm. hit a follow. I stream all the time. Would love to see you guys back. A lot of Teen Creeps heads are hanging out in chat. It's a really fun, supportive place. Check it out. And thank you, Robo. That's sweet. man, everyone is like so happy. I'm so happy how happy everyone is. And this will be, you know, I guess if you're here, you don't care, but it's available on VOD like almost immediately. All right. Should we head
and
out?
For non like Twitch savvy people mm-hmm. who don't use it a lot, who maybe just joined this time, that just means it's available on your channel.
It just means it's a video on demand. So it's just if you missed it, you can just go to like if you only saw part of it, go hey Keki baby, what's up? Keki crew sound off. You just go to past broadcasts and then click it, and then the entire thing is uploaded there, so you can watch it on demand whenever you want.
Yeah. Relive it. Watch it with your family.
Yeah. Bring the fam.
There's a lot of highs and lows.
Tell everyone.
Yeah. Tell your undercover cop boyfriend.
Patiently to get through college for something so gross.
Like every night he's just thinking of Amy.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. We love you.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Dog. Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.